Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, this is Kristen Kenny from Red Bull Global Rallycross, and you're listening to Thursday Night Thunder on the Speedway Digest Radio Network.
Hello and welcome to the Speedway Digest Radio Network. This is Thursday Night Thunder, and we're having a couple of technical issues. So if you stand by for a few seconds, we'll be up and running here. Hopefully. Stand by. This is episode 107 of the series on our April 27th edition of Speedway Digest Thursday Night Thunder. I'm your host, Adam Jason Sinclair, and on tonight's program, Michael Molly and myself will review this past weekend of racing and chat about whatever other exciting news of the world of modern motorsports pops up into the conversation. First off, we'd be remiss if we didn't dive into the big news from the world of NASCAR this week. Dale Earnhardt Jr. is ending his Cup career this season. How do you feel about that?
I think it was bound to happen. I mean, I think a lot of people were hoping that it would be more later rather than sooner, but, you know, given with, like, the injuries and stuff he's had, I've seen it coming, but I didn't quite see it coming as quick as it did come, so.
I'm actually surprised he decided to come back this year. I think that he probably would have been a smarter move if he had actually just stayed away from the sport. He had an interesting year last year. He was on TV a lot and all different sorts of things. So I think that might be his future, is doing some broadcasting for the on television. Personally, I think he'll probably replace Darrell Waltrip. So that would be interesting. But we'll see how that goes, and I wish him all the best. As I stated, I think that he probably should have stayed away. It doesn't really look like he's having a very good year this year. He's not going to be as competitive as he has been in the past. And it's not a good thing to go out on the bottom end of your career as opposed to staying up on top where everybody would remember him to begin with. So. So how much racing did you end up watching this week?
We caught a little bit of the NHRA finals, but for the most part, I didn't really catch any racing. My aunt was actually here from out of town, so we did a lot of stuff with her, but no, we didn't really catch a lot, but like I said, we did catch a little bit of the drag races.
Yeah, the drag race was pretty impressive there with the end of it there with the Ron Capps and all that. That was pretty cool. It was a good race. And the fact that the Leah Pritchett did pretty well there. She's won, past four of five races now. So she's having a really good year.
Yeah. It doesn't seem like the Force cars are on top like they have been.
No, not really. And I know there was a huge shakeup there at the beginning of the season with John Force Racing, and that probably had a little bit to do with it. He actually had a really big feud with another one of the race team owners for a few days because a lot of the people went from John Force's team to another team, and that's pretty much how it goes there. There's only the really few super teams in the National Hot Rod Association, so when somebody does really well at one team, they look at the other team, and if the money's right, they'll jump from one team to another team, and then eventually they might come back. You never know. But it's kind of funny how that works sometimes. Tonight, we're proud to welcome Gus Dean to the program. Dean has been racing since he was 6 years old. The Bluffton, South Carolina driver has progressed from racing go-karts to the challenging X1R Pro Cup Series, which recently merged into the Cars Series. So it's a little bit different, but still basically the same X1R Pro Cup Series, which evolved from the Hooters Pro Cup Series back in the 90s. Like many young drivers, he started his racing career competing in go-karts, where he was the 2007 American Kart Racing Association Junior 2 National Champion.
In 2008, he was the Rookie of the Year in the Allison Legacy Series, where he finished 15th in a field of 53 drivers. He followed that up in 2009, where he was named the most improved driver by finishing 10th in points. Even though he missed 6 races due to a broken knee where he had surgery and rehabilitation, he made the transition from Allison Legacy cars to super late models in 2010. He only competed in 14 Legacy races where he had 2 wins and 8 top 5 finishes. One of those wins came at North Wilkes Row Speedway.
Gus made the switch full-time to super late models in 2011, where he ran speed weeks at New Smyrna Speedway and finished in the top 10 every night, with 2 of those being a top 5 finish. He also competed in the Pass Series and Super 6 Series, where he had 9 top 5 and 16 top 10 finishes. He also won Rookie of the Year in the Super 6 Series.
In 2012, Dean started competing in the X1R Pro Cup Series, where he finished 5th in points with 5 top 5 and 8 top 10 finishes and 8 starts. He improved on that success with the 2013 season, where he finished 3rd in the final points after 9 top 5 runs and all of 14 of his starts. He was in the top 10.
Lately, Dean has been splitting his time between the Car Series and ARCA, and will be competing in Salem this weekend. He should be calling in the next couple minutes, so we're looking forward to talking to him. He's definitely a person who's been up and coming in the past several years. So it should be cool, and we're looking forward to speaking with them this evening. We've also got a couple new people lined up to be on the show in the next few weeks, so we might as well talk about them briefly, but we're waiting for Gus Dean to call in. We're going to have Brad Reason tomorrow, next week. He'll be on the program. He was the guy who I talked about a little bit last week during the program. Brad races in late months, and he has an awesome website. I said that a little bit last week as well. So there we go. Should be pretty cool talking to him. We're also going to be talking to a couple of people from the Bradley Sievers is his name. We're also going to be talking to a couple of people from the Mazda Road to Indy again. Got a couple of those lined up. The first one will be Matt Kreshy, who'll be on the program on May the 11th. So we got a couple of guests for the next couple of weeks, so we're all set and should be a pretty good show. Looking forward to it. While we're standing by for the Gus Dean to call in, let's go ahead and listen to a small selection from Ron Pastana and the Pit Crew. How about we choose someone we haven't listened to lately and listen to Speedway Lady.
Hi, this is Shay Holbrook from Larson Motorsports Jet Dragster Driver in the IHRA Nitro Jam Drag Racing Series, and you're listening to Thursday Night Thunder on Speedway Digest Radio Network.
Once again, that was Speedway Lady by Ron Pastana and the Pit Crew. One we haven't heard in a while, so there we go. We're standing by. Hold on 1 second now. We have Gus Dean on the line. Hello and welcome to the program.
Hi, thank you so much for having me on. How are you today?
Pretty good. How are you doing?
I'm doing well. Just getting everything ready for Salem tomorrow. We fly out tomorrow and get up there. And I think we fly into Louisville and then we'll have to drive to Salem. But really excited to get up there with everybody, Wintron, Cree Racing. It's never been to that track, but I'm really excited about it.
How confident are you going into Salem this weekend?
I'm very confident. You know, we obviously haven't had the beginning of the season that we wanted with Daytona being taken out early and then at Nashville having a track bar break on us. You know, just unfortunate luck, but we definitely have strong race cars. We have a great team. Everybody at Wintron, Mr. Kevin Sawinski, Todd Myers, everybody on my crew, they prepare those cars immaculate for me every week. And, you know, when we went to test at Salem, that was the first time I'd ever been there. And it's a very, very technical track. You know, it's a driver's track is what we call it. You know, it's different from anything else that you run on short track, with the high line through 3 and 4 and a mid groove through 1 and 2, but I settled right into it. And, I had a lot of fun with it. I'm very excited to see how this weekend's race shakes out.
I know this year you've been splitting your time pretty much between the Car Series and ARCA. What differences are there between the two different series?
Well, the race cars themselves are very, very different. The super late models, if you were to cut them down the center, everything is positioned off to the left-hand side. They're made to go around a left-hand corner. They have a wider tire, have relatively the same horsepower, but almost 1,000 pounds lighter. And then the ARCA cars are a lot more top-heavy. If you were to cut them down the center, they're symmetrical on both sides. And they have relatively the same horsepower, but they're 1,000 pounds heavier. So a little bit harder to get off the corner, a little bit harder to stop getting into the corner. But the supers definitely teach you throttle control, and you can always tell when a racer comes out of supers, they're always a little bit more racy than drivers that don't, just because that's how you have to race super late models is up on the wheel every lap, just getting all you can get. So, they're really not similar at all as far as driving style, but I definitely feel like it's given me an advantage moving forward through the rest of the 2017 season.
I've been hearing your name a lot lately on TV a little bit and on the internet a whole lot. It seems like you're on a fast track to stock car fame. Are there any NASCAR races on the horizon for you this year?
Not so far this year, but that's always up in the air. It all depends on sponsorship. We just really cannot thank Gree Cooling Products enough for coming on board with me this year. They gave me that second chance for my second ARCA race last year at Talladega, and we ended up winning. And it's just been a dream come true ever since then. Everybody at Gree they're just great people. They have fun at the racetrack when they come. We have fun with them, and it's just a great relationship to have between the team and the sponsor that hopefully will evolve into more to come throughout the rest of my career.
You just mentioned your win at Talladega, but what is your favorite track you've competed on so far?
Well, obviously Talladega has a special place in my heart there with the first win and the second time in an ARCA car, a second time on a super speedway. I've grown up on the short tracks my entire life, ever since I can remember. But getting out on those super speedways is a very, very different feeling from anything you've prepared yourself for in the past. You can watch all the videos you want to, you can watch all the iRacing simulations you want to, and it helps. But getting out there on that track that first time is an unbelievable feeling. That being said, Pocono, even though we don't have the greatest history with Pocono, that was probably one of the funnest racetracks I've ever driven. It's wild going through that tunnel turn. And you know, it's like they say, it's I think it's actually longer than Daytona and Talladega, but you drive it like a short track. So it's it's just really crazy how the corners affect the way we drive those cars, even though the length of the track is as big as it is.
When you were growing up, who was your favorite racing driver?
I never really had a favorite that you know, I would call the one person, you know, that I always looked up to. I looked up to a lot of drivers. Obviously, I came out of the Allison Legacy Series, where most other drivers came out of the Legends cars. I learned a lot of car control and you know, just really getting the feel of a full body race car from the Allison Legacy cars, fielded by Kenny Allison, Donnie Allison's son. With that, Donnie Allison was always at the racetrack, and he just kind of took me under his wing. He's like a second grandfather to me now, and you know, he being able to sit down and listen to all those stories from you know, back in his day of racing in NASCAR with him and Bobby and Cale, it was just unbelievable stories. So I think if I had to pick one driver that I always looked up to, it would have to be Donnie.
Awesome. Let me throw you up to Michael Mullally, my co-host in Afraid of Washington, who has a couple questions for you as well.
So, as of right now, what is your street car?
My street car?
Yeah.
I drive a lifted F-150, black with black wheels and 35-inch tires. typical Southern boy ride, I guess, but I love it.
So you've been racing quite a while. Do you ever see yourself doing anything else, like maybe owning your own racetrack one day?
You know, I've put so much focus into making a career out of driving that I never really let myself think that there was any other option. You know, to me, it's this is all there is, and you know, I'm giving everything I have towards it, and hopefully, you know, it's already paying off. I mean, to be able to say that I've pulled out on some of the racetracks I have, like Daytona and Talladega, and the ARCA series, it's unbelievable. You know, it's way past any level that I could ever dream of making it. So, but I never really allowed myself to see any other future in racing but making it as a driver, just to kind of give myself that there is no other option kind of mentality, and I think that's kind of helped me through my career.
So what does your average race weekend look like?
Well, it's definitely changing. You know, this year with the full ARCA season, this is something that's a lot different from any other race season that I've had. You know, like I said, I grew up on the short tracks of the Southeast, and you know, pretty much from go-karts to super late models, the cars get more expensive, the travel gets a little bit longer, but it all remains relatively the same. When you step off in the ARCA series, it's a lot different. I'm flying to most of the tracks this year. I think that's one of the main differences that I see. You know, I'm used to piling in the truck with all the guys and driving all night to the racetrack, and a lot of these races, you know, the drivers and the crew chiefs and the owners, we fly, and it's that's very different. I'm not quite used to that, but I'm enjoying it for sure.
And at what age did you know that you wanted to become a race car driver?
To be honest, I really don't remember a time when I didn't want to be a race car driver. I grew up in the go-kart pits with my dad. You know, he raced while I was coming up, you know, right as I was born, and so I grew up in that racing family atmosphere, and I've always felt I've always felt more at home at the track than I did anywhere else.
And my final question for you tonight is, if you could give advice to anybody looking to make it in the racing world, what advice would you give them?
I asked that same question a few years back at the Indy 500 to Mr. Tony Kanaan. I got the opportunity to meet him, and I asked him that question. You know, what advice do you have for somebody who's just starting out in racing? Because at the time, I was still racing crate late models. You know, I was still cutting my teeth on the asphalt cars, you know, and the bigger cars especially. Really kind of lost. Didn't really know what I was doing. And he looked at me and he said, "It's the hardest thing you'll ever do in your life, but it's not impossible." And that's really the best advice I could give anybody that's trying to chase this racing dream is, you know, no matter how hard it gets sometimes or you know, how bad it beats you down, at the end of the day, it's still not impossible. You can still do it. And that's probably the best lesson that I've learned coming up through racing.
You've mentioned Tony Kanaan and you mentioned Donnie Allison. They're two diametrically different styles of racing. What is your ultimate racing goal?
My ultimate racing goal would be to race in the Cup Series and the NASCAR Cup Series. Okay. I've never really been a very strong road course racer. I can kind of maintain through the road courses, but I definitely feel at home at the oval tracks. And you know, growing up watching all the NASCAR races on TV and you know seeing all these tracks, and now being able to go out there and race on the tracks that I used to watch on the TV, I don't really see any other place in racing for me but in the Oval Track Asphalt Series.
Well, we wish you the best of luck this weekend at Salem, and hopefully you have a great race and a great career ahead of you.
I thank you so much. I really appreciate it.
Thank you, and have a great weekend.
Yes, sir. Thank you so much. Y'all do the same.
Once again, that was Gus Dean, and we'd like to thank him very much for coming on the show tonight. It was a great chance to talk to a young up-and-coming driver, and I'm sure we'll hear a whole lot more about him in the near future. Are you a race car driver, crew chief, pit member, track owner, or maybe you're just a fan of the sport? Contact either Michael Mullally or myself to get your spot on the show. After all, you deserve your 15 minutes of fame, and we'd love to hear from you. Be sure to check out past episodes of Thursday Night Thunder, as well as the other shows on the Speedway Digest Radio Network at speedwaydigestradionetwork.com. You can also check out the show on Facebook by searching for Speedway Digest Thursday Night Thunder in the search bar. I also invite you to read the articles covering all aspects of motorsports at speedwaydigest.com. There's some great stuff happening in the world of modern motorsports. You can check it out in the racing news section. Also, you can check out the preview of Richmond this weekend at speedwaydigest.com in their NASCAR news section, as well as the Xfinity race. Should be a good weekend. In addition, if you're a fan of South Florida, and who isn't, be sure to check out the latest news and information about our slice of paradise at Palm Beach Happening, which can be found by visiting palmbeach.happeningmag.com. We just put out our great Cinco de Mayo edition, which has a lot of information about local restaurants as well as some recipes for you to try at home. So be sure to check that out. It has food recipes as well as a couple awesome drinks there. So you can get your party on for Cinco de Mayo next Friday. But be sure to listen to this show on Thursday so you're all set for your next weekend of racing action.
Thank you for listening, and we look forward to seeing you again May 4th in the Thunderdome as we once again discuss the major issues in the world of modern auto racing.
Have a great night and a great weekend, and we'll see you next week.